And this pastor knew, and he was very good friends with an atheist, a very well-known atheist in America. And this pastor invited this atheist to come in to share with many of the pastor's gatherings. They have this pastoral gathering, and they have lots of people that come together and join in this conference. And he got this atheist to come in to share with them. And it was the strangest thing when I heard this. I thought, what is this atheist going to share with a bunch of pastors and Christians? And the lead pastor asked this atheist to share with the other pastors, what is it and why don't you come to church? Why don't you come to church? And this is what the atheist said to this, and this is word for word what the atheist said to this whole congregation of pastors. He says, the reason I don't come to church and the reason why many of us in this country don't come to church is because we don't see any passion. He continued, if Jesus really, now you've got to think this is coming from an atheist, if Jesus really is God's son, if he really did die on the cross, and if he's really the only way to heaven, then it must be the highest blasphemy before God to not be absolutely passionate about what you believe. He said, I see very little to no passion in the church. It was a challenge that shook this bunch of pastors when they heard this from this atheist. And this morning, when I read that in the week, I thought, wow, you know, it's something that we've always got to stir within our hearts as Christians. We have to stir up our passion for the Lord. And I want to touch on a few things this morning, a few scriptures, as what the word says. And the first one is Romans chapter 12, verse 11. It says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. This is one of my favorite scriptures when it says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. We know what this word fervent means. Fervent means to boil. To boil. And so it gives you that beautiful picture of what lukewarm water is like. Lukewarm water does not come to the boil. But a fervent water, fervent means boiling. It means boiling. So he's saying, don't be slothful, don't be lazy in your passion or in your zeal, but be boiling in your spirit for God. Be boiling in your spirit, serving the Lord with all your passion, with all your desire. And a lot of Christians have lost their fire, their passion for the Lord. And here's a few points when it comes to loving God, what the word says, that we are to love God above all things in this life. We know that. We are to love Him above all things. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So number one is for us to be absolutely in love with God and serve God above all things. The second thing is to love God above all other relationships. To love God above all other relationships. Matthew 10:37, Jesus says, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There's a second challenge for us, is to love the Lord our God more than any other relationship that we have in this world. The third thing I want to pick out is to love God more than our own life. We know Matthew 10:38, a very well-known scripture says, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. I often think of these scriptures, and I think of just passion in our lives and desire and zeal for God. If we have to admit in our walk with God, how many of you have been walking with God for 5 to 10 years? Let me see if you've been walking with God for between 5 and 10 years. If you've been walking with God for 10 to 15 years, let me see how many fall in that category. 10 to 15. 15 to 20 years. 20 to 25 years. That's me. I'm in that category. Can you believe it? Let's go with 30 years and plus. 30 years and more. Now you're giving your age away. But when it comes to that, let's be real. It's not always easy to keep our passion alive for the Lord. We sometimes feel like we blow lukewarm. And in my life, personally, I've been serving the Lord for probably about 23 years now, and that's from about the age of 12 or 13, where I really encountered God for the first time deeply. I've gone through many cycles of blowing hot and cold. And then there's times when I personally had to dig in, and I felt like, Lord, there's something missing. And I would push in as deep as I can, and I would fast, and I would pray for days, and I would encounter God in the most incredible ways, and my fire was reignited. My passion was reignited. Only to find maybe a year or two or 3 years later, it kind of dies a little bit, and the flame goes out. And then I would think, I need to get back to that place again. I don't know how many of you are saying that in your hearts. I need to get back to that place. I need to get back to that place where I feel on fire for the Lord. I must admit, though, there's times where I feel it's really difficult to get back to that place. I don't know if anyone can sort of say you feel the same way, where you feel like, you know what, oh, to get back to that place is going to take a lot of devotion again. It's going to take a lot of me pushing and pressing in to get back into that space where I feel on fire for the Lord. And here's a thought I want to bring up this morning. Is I found in my own life that often my passion and my zeal will fail me. I often will push in deep and I'll get to a space, and we have to. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And so I do. I have to go to a gym session, or like I would go to a rugby practice or something. You've got to psych your mind up. You've got to get ready, like you'll go Gail and Kim on a run. You've got to get your mind prepared so that you will actually put your heart and your attention and your focus into it, and you'll perform properly. If you don't get yourself there, you won't ever get to a good place of whatever it is, running or exercise or a gym session. You'll be really weak. So there's that important element. But I found sometimes I don't have the strength to get back to where I was. And it made me think of just another part of this relationship with God. When you don't get there, when you feel like you can't get back to that place or you're struggling, don't you often feel guilty? Don't you feel sometimes disheartened, disappointed? You feel like, I just don't have the emotional strength. I don't have the fire within me to get up and to, maybe it's to read your Bible or to pray. And you struggle. You're struggling. I want to say this morning, I feel that it's sometimes because we have got our passion and our zeal backward. And that's the play on the word this morning. Is sometimes we're doing it only from our side, saying, I've got to push harder to get there. Now, that's so important, and you do have to. But what I want to encourage you this morning is to put an emphasis on a different angle of it this morning. Is that we are to realize and come to the place, if we want our fire to last a long time and to be consistent, that we've got to find ourselves first in the love of God and receive His love. And so I want to touch on this a little bit this morning, because if you look at the whole nation of Israel, they also went through seasons and seasons with this, you know, incredible enthusiastic zeal to serve their God. But they failed miserably. And you see this hot and cold walk that even Israel has, where they blow hot and cold through their cycles, and how then God becomes so upset with them because now they start serving other things and they start getting twisted in their faith and their relationship with God, and they serve other gods. They fail. And if you've ever failed and you feel like you're failing in your passion for the Lord, you feel often condemned. You feel guilty. You feel frustrated, you feel disappointed. What I've found in my walk with the Lord that brings me a consistent fire and passion for the Lord is that it comes from really this scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love because He first loved us. That for me became one of the greatest revelations in my walk with God. Because I became frustrated and I said, God, how do I get back to that place over and over? And I realized, hold on a minute. The ability that I have to love God with all my heart only comes from the ability that I have to receive God's love. And when I really grasped that, it started to trigger a stronger passion, because my zeal and my passion will sometimes fail if it's only in my own strength. If it's only up to me, my zeal and my passion will sometimes fail. But when I come to this real deep realization is that if I can meditate and be and receive in God's love and His passion for me and His affection for me every single day, it ignites that passion for me automatically in my life, and it builds it and it sustains it. This becomes a strong sustainer in our zeal for the Lord, is to receive and to enjoy His love for us. That's what gives us a sustainable passion for God. And so again, our ability to love is dependent on our ability to grasp His love. And I think I can see that in a number of Christians' lives as I've grown up, is that there's some Christians that almost never break out of that lukewarm cycle into a fired up, fervent passion for God, because they've never really sat down and received and enjoyed the affection and the love that God has for them. Without that love, I often say it in my sermons at weddings. I do a lot of weddings in the area here, and I always say, we know how to love only because God has loved us first, and we know what His love is. Without knowing the depths of His love, we will never fully be able to love others. And so it comes down to our relationship with Christ. And I realized this is something that I think many Christians are trapped in, is we're relying on ourselves to get back to that place. And sometimes it's far easier to just be in that place and say, God, I'm going to just enjoy Your love and Your affection for me. I'm going to let that become a new revelation to me every day, Your great love for me. And that'll often change our hearts so easily. I'm privileged and I'm blessed in the sense of a relationship that I have with my father, my earthly father. He is the most incredible father to me. He has got his flaws and his failures, and you might hear this recording, so he's not perfect. But he's a phenomenal father. We grew up with the most attention, the most love, the most affection that any child could want and ask for. He would, if you've got an incredible father, you would have probably, you'll be reminded of some of the same things. If they come to your games or they come to your sports activities and they support you, you feel their presence. You feel their heart for you, their support and their love and their encouragement. And we've grown up only ever knowing that and being built up and, you know, words of affirmation being poured out over our lives as kids, myself and my brother and my sister. And so we have this deep affection and this love for my father, and my father has that for us. And he's never stopped loving us like that. And I've realized over, you know, my life that it's his love for me that has enabled me to love my children the way God wants me to love them. He's modeled not perfect love. I get that from the Father, but he's modeled love and affection. And he's modeled so much that I've grasped and I've understood that I now give to my children. And I realize how that has an impact on our lives. And for some of us, we haven't had that father or that mother in our lives that have loved us like that. So we, especially if we're in that place, we have to go and understand and grasp the deep affection that the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. And bask in it and sit in it and get that ringing in our hearts and our minds. And so it'll just begin this new fire in our hearts to love Him back. And so, you know, I had this incredible example of my father in our lives, and I realized how we are to model that to our children. We are to model that love to our children so that they'll model it to their children. We have to model that to our husband and our wife so that our kids will see what it is to love husbands and wives with all their hearts. And so we are really stretched and pushed by God to live up to His standard of love and passion for Him and then for others around us. Here's some encouraging scriptures this morning that I want to just share on trying to grasp His love. And this morning, maybe you are struggling in and you're feeling a little lukewarm. Here's a beautiful way to just come back to your passion and your fire for the Lord, is to hear how much the Lord really loves you and cares for you. Psalm 36, verse 5, It says, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Just enjoy and make that personal this morning. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens and your faithfulness to the skies. Isaiah 54 verse 10 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 7 says, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings. I love this passage because it just shows if you're feeling dead even in your faith right now and you're feeling a little lukewarm, this is a scripture that says even when you were dead in your wrongdoings, when you were dead in your faith, you were not even won over to Christ yet. He said his great love and his mercy made us alive together with Christ. And so again, his love, it's his passion for you that makes you alive. It's his passion and his desire and his zeal for your life and his affection for your life that makes you alive in Christ. And so if you're feeling dead, you're feeling lukewarm, you're feeling dry, just understand where this fire comes from. It first of all comes from him toward you. And you respond in that love towards him. And this fire just builds in your lives. And it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I don't know, I've wrestled with God many times, and I felt like often Jacob when he's wrestling with the angel saying, God, I'm not going to move until I feel your touch. I'm not going to move from this place until I feel your presence and I feel your touch. And once you do and you feel that touch in your heart and you feel that electricity kind of love flow through your heart, it inspires you. It lifts you. His love lifts you. It builds you. His love inspires you and encourages you, and it keeps your heart soft towards him. And the last scripture I want to share this morning is John chapter 15 verse 9. So simple and mentioned so many times, but there's a key word that I just want to use out of it this morning. It says, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now he says this to us, now remain in my love. Remain in my love. I want to just bring out the definition this morning of remain. What does remain mean? Remain means to stay, to dwell, don't go anywhere, to not move away from. That's what remain means. And so the key that Jesus is even saying here, as we abide in him, this whole beautiful passage about abiding in Christ, he's saying, remain in my love. This is how you keep your passion, your zeal for the Lord every day. Remain, stay, dwell. Do not move away from my love for you. That'll keep you and that'll keep your passion burning. And so I want us just to reflect and take a moment this morning, and the worship team's going to come up this morning and we're going to go into a little bit more worship. And I want us just to close our eyes and think and build this relationship. Remember again, as Mike even said this morning, we're not here for anything but to really spend time in God's presence. We're not here to play church or to sing a few songs, but we're here to just pour out our praise on the Lord. I would love you to invite the Holy Spirit now and ask the Holy Spirit, as you build that relationship with him as well, to come in and to give you a new revelation, a fresh revelation of the love that God has for you. So let's open our hearts to listen to him, open our hearts to hear him. And you personally invite him right now, invite him to come in and to touch you afresh with the love that God has for you. You know, we often come into our relationships with our spouse and we'll say, I love you. And it can sound so mundane, it can sound so empty, because that word has been used millions of times in our lives. And we've heard millions, or the scriptures, maybe hundreds of times in our lives, of how much Jesus loves us. And if we're not soaking in it and enjoying it, it can just come in and not touch our hearts. It can touch our minds, but never sink down into our hearts. And daily we should be enjoying this revelation. And so just spend some time speaking and just asking the Lord to touch you with that love.